All right, so we're now back in open session and we are on item 9, which is consideration and possible action regarding our policy on determining compensation earnable. And Karen, I believe this is your item.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. This item will be presented by myself as well as Christina Dunn, Sisera's Deputy Chief Executive Officer. And you do have in the agenda packet a memorandum from us, as well as a copy of the policy, including a redlined copy that reflects the recommended changes. Now, this policy, the compensation earnable policy, sets forth what elements of pay constitute compensation earnable for retirement purposes for legacy members, pre-PEPRA members, under applicable law. It was amended and adopted in 2014 based on a trial court order that was issued in the AB 197 case. And since then, that case, that court order was appealed, and the California Supreme Court issued a decision in the case. We refer to that decision as the Alameda decision because the case involves three retirement systems, Alameda County, Contra Costa, and Merced. And the case is referred to as the Alameda case. And so the California Supreme Court issued a decision in the case. And in that decision, it upheld AB 197, which was a legislative change to the law that applies to Sisera that determines compensation earnable. AB 197 added exclusions to compensation earnable. And under the Alameda decision, those exclusions are valid. The court upheld those. And so they do have to be implemented. So at this point in time, we think it is prudent to update the board's compensation earnable to make it consistent with the Alameda decision. For the most part, the policy is indeed consistent with AB 197 and the exclusions, but we will highlight a couple of provisions that would need to be updated. If you look to the second page of the memo, we do have a summary there of those adjustments to the policy. The first one is the estoppel class benefits. The estoppel class benefits were created in 2014 by the trial court. It was something that was never there before, and it's beyond what AB 197 allows. And so the recommendation is to align the policy with the Alameda decision and remove the estoppel class benefits from the compensation earnable policy. The second recommended adjustment is to the exclusion from compensation earnable of payments for additional services rendered outside of normal working hours. This is an exclusion that appears in AB 197, and it's been upheld by the Alameda decision. Specifically, it is found in Government Code Section 31461, Subdivision B3. And so the policy should be updated to make it clear that when Sisera determines normal working hours for membership, Sisera would look to the employer agreements in place or employer regulations and resolutions. Those are the official employer documents adopted by the governing board of the employer that set forth the conditions under which payment is made and work is being done. And so those will determine what the normal working hours for the membership. And additionally, they would tell us whether the employer requires the work to be done as opposed to allowing the work to be done on a voluntary basis. And lastly, with respect to looking at whether everyone in the same grade or classification is doing that same work, that determination would be made based on all pay periods as opposed to just the final year. As you know, we have had situations where employees were able to enhance that type of pay in their last year. So we think that the analysis should go beyond that last year. And this will also ensure that the pensionability determinations can be made at the outset for purposes of collecting retirement contributions accurately. That is something that both the employers and CICERA handle throughout the membership's career. And so let me pause there. I'll turn it over to Christina to cover some of the other adjustments that are being recommended. But before I do that, I wanted to pause, Mr. Chair, and see if there are any questions from trustees.
Any questions of Karen before we hear from Christina? Yes, Dr. McDonald.
So just to clarify, under quote unquote normal working hours, just to state that those are determined through the MOU. So some people work 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, and other folks like firefighters and so forth have more of a 24/7 kind of arrangement on what's normal, correct?
That's correct, Trustee McDonald. Thank you. That's a very good question. Yes, it is the employer that makes those determinations, and sometimes it is negotiated, and it'll result in an MOU for some members who are not represented by labor unions. It would be an employer resolution or regulation that sets forth the normal working hours and other conditions of employment.
Any other questions of Karen? All right, seeing none, Christina?
Yes, so along with the policy updates, we have an attachment to that policy that provides some kind of standard pay items that we see. And we've also have some recommendations to update that attachment to really clarify what those outside normal working hours look like, as Karen just talked about. And then one of the last updates to the policy is previously when the policy was adopted, it included a reference to AB 197, since that is what it was based off of. And as we've gone through the years, we've started to refer to the policy as the compensation earnable policy. So we're also recommending to update the name of the policy to be in line with what we refer to it in practicality. We do also realize that there's going to be some next steps based on the updates to the policy. Today's recommendation does not include those next steps. Staff are continuing to review any type of retroactivity or overpayments that could come from the Alameda decision. At this time, we're just looking to update the policy. So our recommendation is to consider and take possible action to amend the policy on determining compensation earnable under Assembly Bill 197 for purposes of calculating retirement benefits for legacy pre-PEPRA members. And if there's any other questions, we can answer them.
Any questions for Christina on the compensation earnable policy? Dr. McDonald.
Is this the time to discuss specific changes, or are you just asking about the policy in general?
I think at this point, this can be either questions for Christina on the policy. If there are suggested changes or, you know, language proposals, I think now is as good a time as any.
Okay. There is a mention of exclusion of on-call pay. And as I understand it, there could be situations when on-call pay could be included. So I think it would be better to label it as ineligible on-call pay, just so that there's no confusion.
Karen, thoughts on that?
Ineligible is Trustee McDonald's suggestion. I think that it essentially says the same thing, but I agree with Trustee McDonald that on-call pay it could be included under some circumstances. We just simply don't use the word ineligible when we talk about pay items. They're either included or excluded following the sort of the statutory scheme, because AB 197 added exclusions. So I think maybe the best thing to do is to look at what the policy says about that type of pay, and that is with the recommended changes consistent with the statute. So if you look to Section D of the policy, we do state there exactly what the statute says, which is compensation earnable. It does not include in any case the following: payments for additional services rendered outside of normal working hours, whether paid in a lump sum or otherwise. Trustee McDonald, does that respond to your question?
Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm just, if there's a pay item that meets the criteria listed in Section D, those three criteria, then that could be compensation earnable. But I just want to make sure that there's no hard denial going forward if anyone has pay that is for quote unquote on call, just based on the policy change. So that's, I mean, so on-call could be pensionable if it meets the criteria listed, but on-call is referred to primarily in the policy as not pensionable. So I think my concern is that there could be confusion, and it would be better to qualify if it's eligible on-call pay, maybe say that. I don't know. It just seems like.
In terms of reading this, my perspective was that particularly these changes in item D on page 5 of the red line set out in a much more defined and granular way the rigorous test that the pay is subjected to determine if it's excluded or included. So, I mean, the concern I would have is not wanting to introduce a new term into the compensation earnable lexicon, right? So we have excluded and included. And so the test here is if it doesn't meet these criteria, then it's going to be excluded. If it does, it's going to be included. So there is we may end up complicating it, David, if we introduced a secondary definition or a label on pay. I understand the general issue, but this, I thought this redo was a much needed improvement because it really put specificity and granularity to the determination being made. This is what we did. This is what we do in terms of analyzing the pay. And now the policy says it very clearly about what it is we do, the rigor that's applied to it. So anyway, that's my interpretation of this. I don't know, Harvey and Karen, if you have additional thoughts? Looks like Harvey has his hand up there.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. If you go to the appendix A on the red line, it's page 37 of the packet. I think that it solves that issue because we have there comparable ordinarily includes and ordinarily excludes. So ordinarily is sort of the default setting. If we keep in mind that this policy is used for two things, it is, of course, used to calculate someone's compensation earnable for their retirement benefit. But it's also used so that we and the employers know what to take contributions out on. And so by saying that comparable ordinarily excludes pay for services outside normal working hours, including on-call standby, we are saying that we expect, and we're telling the actuaries, that it is highly unlikely that there's going to be a pensionable category that we need to take contributions out for, and they need to factor into their projected benefits and liabilities relating to on-call pay, for example. And that's what this says. This says employers don't take contributions out on it, and the actuary don't include it in projected liabilities because it's highly unlikely that it's going to be a pensionable pay item. This does not mean that in any particular instance when someone has their benefit being calculated, that if they believe that it doesn't, the ordinarily exclusion doesn't apply to them, that they have a unique qualified type of on-call that should be pensionable, under the policy, they have every right to come forward to the board and contest this determination. And so they're not prejudiced in any way by our putting this in the policy where we say ordinarily it's going to exclude on-call pay. There's still an opportunity to bring right. the facts specific forward relating to something that may be out of the ordinary. Does that help, Dr. McDonald?
Yeah, so if you understand my concerns and you feel that those are adequately addressed with the new language, then that's fine. Thank you.
I would say if it's just to add that we actually just went through this with, I think it was Rodeo San, if I'm remembering correctly. With respect to the employer audit, and I wanted to point out that the audit function that we have really is an essential element of how this comp earnable policy works. That is, Raleigh's group goes in and does the rigorous analysis, and on this very issue, which was Rodeo San on call, there was a disparity that got resolved as a result of the audit and then the district's follow on letter. So. I guess the short version is there's a process that we have structurally. I think that's a protection for both us, for employers, and most importantly, the employees. That the process is able to verify and ferret out any discrepancies or issues, so that it's clear what's comparable and what's not. I think the one thing, at least I'm confident that we all want, I certainly feel this way, is that we're not in the eligibility business, right? This board isn't in the pensionability eligibility business. The determinations that get made here are at the employer level, whether through MOU resolution or otherwise. And this policy now makes that crystal clear that we rigorously examine the policy or resolution or MOU adopted by the employer so that we can determine what is or isn't excluded, right? With the lien being included. Is that fair, Harvey, Karen?
Yeah, well, but I mean, we determine eligibility as per the law, right? So, and we have to look at each case and determine whether or not it passes the test. So we are kind of in that business because the employer could put something, negotiate something with a labor unit that would not be appropriate. Isn't that correct? I mean, we would have to give the final say as per California state law and take it from there. We might have to, excuse me, direct the employer or inform the employer, but that some income that's not pensionable that they've just negotiated.
No, I don't think there's disagreement about that. That's exactly what this policy does. I think this policy implements CERL on this point and our audit function that we've seen periodically in our as the audits come back before us are an essential tool that we have to determine whether employers are actually adopting by MOU or otherwise adequate pay codes that gives specific and unambiguous direction to us about what pay is or isn't included. So, I mean, I think we have a pretty good system actually.
Okay.
Any further discussion? Oh, I'm sorry, David, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say thank you for the discussion and clarification.
Any other comments or questions for Harvey, Karen, or anyone on this item? Oh, Reggie, I'm sorry, your hand's up. Yes, sir. Where'd you go? I'm sure you're muted, Reggie.
Sorry about that. I'm unmuted now.
There you go.
So I'm still new to the board. I'm trying to get up to speed with everything here. But just for clarification, so compensation earnable, would that be on-call and standby pay in our department? Would that be compensation earnable? So I know that for part of our staffing for our daily roster, we have a lot of personnel, battalion chiefs specifically, that are on-call daily. So would that be part of this plan where they're going to be getting compensation later for working those hours?
Karen or Harvey, do you want to handle that?
Question making sense?
Yes, it makes perfect sense, Reggie. In terms of compensation, the compensation is provided by the employer to the employee, and this policy doesn't address that at all. That's between the employer and the employee. In terms of compensation earnable, that is, you know, what counts towards your pension in calculation. What compensation does CSERA use to plug in the formula to calculate the pension? So, Mr. Chair, I would defer to Christina Dunn to respond specifically about the district question.
Certainly. Christina, did you want to add anything?
Yes, with Contra Costa County Fire Protection District, we did, based on the Alameda decision, complete a review of their standby / on-call pay codes and determined that based under the Alameda decision and the information that was provided to us, that it was not pay that would fall under compensation earnable. Therefore, the district through the county's auditor's office, because the district does have the county's auditor's office do their payroll, has stopped collecting contributions effective as of January 1st, 2021.
Thank you. Reggie, does that respond adequately?
Yeah, thank you for the clarification there.
Any other comments or questions?
Mr. Chair, we do have a public comment when you're ready for that.
So if there are no further board questions or comments at this time, we should proceed to hear the public comment on this item.
Okay, this public comment is from Vince Wells, president of IAFF Local 1230. Says, if this question is not answered during the discussion, please add it to the discussion. Having to make a public comment this way limits our ability to respond or address issues that come up during the discussion of the item. My question is, will there be any adjustments made to retirees who retired after the implementation of AB 197, but before the Alameda decision? Meaning, are these changes going forward or starting from the passing of the bill?
And that's the end of the comment from Mr. Wells?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Karen, I don't know to what degree we can get into that discussion in terms of a comment or question in terms of the time frame.
Oh, yes, absolutely. The question goes to an issue that is outside the scope of today's policy amendments. As noted previously, any remaining issues regarding possible overpayments are not addressed today, but they are being currently reviewed by CSERA.
Excellent, thank you. Any other public comment, Christina?
No.
All right. Are there any other board comments or questions? And if not, we would entertain a motion if someone is desirous of making one.
I'm prepared to make a motion to take to amend the policy on determining compensation earnable as recommended by the staff.
Second.
All right, it's been moved by Jerry and seconded by Rusty to move the staff recommendation for item 9. Is there any further discussion on the item? All right, hearing none, we'll proceed to our roll call vote. Anderson.
Aye.
Finley.
Aye.
Gordon. Aye. Holcomb.
Aye.
Kroll.
Aye.
McDonald.
Aye.
Phillips.
Aye.
Watts.
Aye.
And Powell.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Thank you all for interesting discussion. All right, having concluded item 9,